Welcome to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe and about prosperity. And in this section 45, I will now talk about the situation of Eastern European regions. As you know, I believe very strongly in federalism, and I call for more intention for Eastern European regions, the strategic regions. I call for a new instrument. I call it the co-managed regions, EU co-managed regions. I have defined about 26 of them, and the criteria is that they are strategically important. They are very much below the EU average, which Eurostat has defined as 100% of GDP per capita, and they are much poorer. Many of them in Eastern Europe are much poorer, and they have some kind of structural issues which cannot be overcome alone in the member state or in the future member state or in the partner state of the EU in the east of Europe. You know, normally, obviously, regional development is the task of the member state, of the nation state, and of their internal structures. But I'm calling for a new instrument. That means that the EU itself sets up a EU style of agency exactly for that specific region. And then the EU is funding that and co-managing that region. Because we have several regions where specific historic, political and geographic regions are completely neglected. They are either full for minorities, religious minorities, other regions, or they are so important from geostrategic point that they matter so much that the task is too big. And the member states or the future member states or the partner states, they have failed. And this is very important. Because we need cohesion. We cannot let a region be neglected fully and fail. It's not possible. It drags down the whole member state. It drags down the whole future member states. And that's a big problem. And we need a new instrument, which is a new task for the European Union. It also needs funding. And it's important to set this up. And then for 20 years, for example, in that time frame, or at least for 10 years in the beginning to be renewed, the EU funding massively regional cohesion in specific Eastern European regions until they have reached the acceptable. It's a kind of a turbo instrument for Eastern European regions, but it's also an instrument of co-management, co-responsibility. Obviously, not to go always via Athens, Sofia, Bucharest or Kiev. Yeah? Go directly into this region via Brussels to that region and have significant amounts of money to help convergence and cohesion and to really get going directly in this region with the help of the European Union. It's a bit controversial. The member states or the nation states, they never like that. I understand that. They need to be consulted and also involved. I understand that. But the current status quo of these 26 regions is really too bad. And I think we should not accept that. So let's in general discuss. We have achieved a lot of cohesion in Central and Southern Europe, but we have a problem in the new member states especially. We also have a problem in the south of Spain, south of Italy, yes. Yeah. But in general, in the old EU of the EU-15, we have achieved a lot with the exemption of Greece. And also we have now with the 13 new member states of Eastern Europe, but also with Ukraine, with Bosnia, Kosovo, Turkey, there is a lot to be done. And I have defined now the key regions, what needs to be done. The instrument is not for all regions. It's only for strategically important one. Idea being a joint development agency set up like an EU agency, funded significantly by the European Parliament and also having to report to the European Parliament. Yeah? And that's one of the key things. And it's a kind of a turbo boost for federalism and also for structural cohesion. And we need to have responsible governance at rational and reasonable level. Never forget, the problem of these regions very often is that the states in Eastern Europe are very centralistic. It starts already with Czech Republic. It is very big problem in Romania. And it is, of course, much bigger problem in Kiev, in Ukraine, and in all the other countries. They are very centralistic. And that's obviously something really problematic. The less centralistic countries, like, for example, Austria, Germany, but also Italy, they work much better. it's obviously very clear to be seen that the take-up process, the catch-up process, it works very good in Central Europe. We have now already Prague and Bratislava, Budapest overtaking some of the richer regions in Western Europe, but the regions around in their periphery are failing. And that's why we need competitive federalism. And in some ways, we need also then to have also specific tools to make it doable for this region to really catch up. And here you see that we leave in this region, the population loss is the biggest because they are even left behind their own transformation back in their own countries. I'm talking about, and you will see, I will mention all of them, but let's for example, comparing when you see that some regions in Romania are at 40%, yeah, and in South Serbia 25% of EU average, and that's not good enough. We need to be better. We need to be less centralistic, otherwise we lose and empty specific poor regions in Eastern Europe completely, and everybody will come to us. Man, welcome, but it's not the idea. We need what I call the Austrian Economic SME Regional Development. That's absolutely important with a governance structure at the region and with also a regional development agency. And all these things I have discussed already in great details in the section about Upper Austria, section 20. Please refer to that with all the brainstorming, what can be done in region, what should be done. That's really very important. But and also under SME development, I have called in great details what needs to be done. I'm in general to be spent 1% of the GDP of the EU has to be spent on regional level. You know, that's about the benchmark. I think 1% is now currently on the EU level. 1% must be for regional governance. And now for this new instrument, EU co-managed regions. So for a 20 years time corridor, in some it will take longer, but it's important that in all these new member states in the future, in the third wave of enlargement, but also we have specific issues also in Greece, and there's also, I have not covered actually Turkey, but all these countries have specific areas, and I will now, we should invest. And now I will mention some of them. Northern Aegean, that's a really very important one. Thrace, Epirus, Mitrovica, Pechina, Eastern Herzegovina, Trina Valley, Rashak, Skodra, Polog, Burgas, Dobrić, Dobruja, Bessarabia, Gagauzia, Vukovar, Free Lugansk, Free Kramatorsk, Free Kherson, and also then in the future Transnistria, Abkhazia, South Ossetia, Eastern Donbass, European Crimea, Karabakh and Famagusta. Some of them we don't have any access at the moment, like in Crimea and Eastern Donbass. Some we do have access, but they are very complicated. But all of them are actually very complicated. And I know some of them are very famous. Many in the EU might not ever have heard about it. I will now discuss specifically what is the issues in these regions and why they need such an instrument of co-management. Yeah? Of a EU-style agency together with the national and with the regional authorities, help with better governance, help economically, help with infrastructure, help with political processes, but go to the region in these countries, not hanging out in Sarajevo and Kiev, not hanging out in Baku, but going into the regional capital and fostering regional governance, good governance and economic development from that area, from Trebinje. That's my first region. Eastern Herzegovina and the, you can call it Southern Herzegovina, Eastern Herzegovina. This is the part of the Republika Srpska in the south. It's Trebinje, it's south of Mostar, it's south of the Neretva. This is very poor region. This is extremely poor region and it's totally neglected even by the Republika Srpska sitting in the north in Banja Luka. And that's very sad. And it has a strategic value. It's connecting Croatia, Bosnia with Montenegro, and it's a very strategic region for the history of Bosnia and Herzegovina. I've called already for the airport there, for the highway. You have maybe heard more about it in my podcast already. So, then we come in Bosnia, we stay in the Trina Valley region. And that's the eastern part of Bosnia. That's also part of the Republika Srpska. And this part, the eastern part and the southern part, they are extremely poor. They need to be co-managed by the European Union. This is the places where Senica, Zvornik, Bjelina, and this is where Gorazde and all these places where the most of the massacres happened in the times of the Bosnian War. This is exactly where it is. Yeah? This is where the ethnic cleansing took place. And this is still today the place world famous or world notorious as Srebrenica. This is the eastern Drina Valley, the Drina Valley region, going all along the Serbian-Bosnian border, and we have done too little for that. And also the Republika Srpska has done too little for that region. And obviously the Bosnian authorities have done too little, and they will continue to do so. So we need to get into this region directly as an EU co-managed region, and do the same also in some regions of Croatia. Even I call it for the European Vukovar region, and that's obviously the ancient Sirmia. This was once the capital of the Eastern Roman world, and it's a very important city, Vukovar at the Danube. And here again, a European co-managed region, a European Vukovar project. This is important. The region still today is very poor. Croatia has very rich parts in Zagreb, you know, and Istria, in Dubrovnik, at the coast, amazing. But this eastern Slavonia, this region is very, very poor to this day, and this must be changed by a EU co-managed region. Then let's come to the south of Serbia. Here I have defined the European Raška region for a co-managed region. That's the part many people will better know it as Sanjak. That's where Novi Pazar is, Raška. This is the valley of the Moravca, the southern. They do now a corridor there, a motorway corridor. That's very good. But this is still so much poorer than the rest of Serbia. Serbia is quite rich in Belgrade, but the south, that's the south part between, squeezed in between Bosnia, Montenegro and Kosovo, still so poor. Then the European Pečina region. It's more famous as the part of the Preševo Valley, but it's a one economic region of Serbia, and it must be co-managed. It's so important between Bulgaria, Macedonia, Kosovo and the south of Serbia. Strategically very important for infrastructure, but completely neglected. And here the EU must establish a EU co-managed region. Then we come to the European Mitrovica region, also known as the north of Kosovo. But I'm against defining such regions only on ethnic terms. No, that's not good. European Mitrovica region, one of the regions of Kosovo, must include south of Mitrovica, north of Mitrovica, in one multi-ethnic region, and supported by the EU with a specific EU development agency, together with the local authorities, which often need to be developed first, because for political reasons these regions have only municipalities. They don't have a regional governance. And that's one of the reasons why they are poor. And it's not working, and that's wrong. Same is true for Northern Epirus region, European Epirus region. I'm talking about the region in Greece in the north. This is, you can call it the Alipasha region, you can call it Ioannina. This is the poorest part to this day. You call it also the Cham region. There's many ways, and exactly because there is such a kind of contentious, conflictuous political reason, history, and these regions are often very badly governed. And also Greece must be a federal Greece in a federal European Union. And for these regions, like Epirus, it must be co-managed by the EU. It's no kind of no independence, no separatism, no kind of secessionism. Better regional governance, like we have it in Austria and Germany, in America. You know, this can be like Alaska of Greece, let's call it in a way. And that must be the way. And that must be the support of the European Union to develop regional governance, but also to fund such region. The other region in Greece, which is completely neglected by the authorities, is Thrace. Thrace, and that's the area which was part of Turkey and then Bulgaria, then it's now in Greece. And obviously it is conflictuous and complicated now with refugees. That's the border region to the Evros River, to the river that gave Europe the name. And that's an important region in Europe, and it's neglected. It's very poor. Europe, take responsibility and turn it into a EU co-managed region. The same is true, and in some ways I'm also in favor to do that inside the European Union. That's for the Northern Aegean region. The Northern Aegean region, that's exactly these famous islands of Samos, and they are now so famous because of this refugee crisis. But they are they are too expensive, too complicated for Greece to manage alone. The EU must be a solidarity union, must take responsibility with such an instrument also inside the European Union. And yes, it's expensive, yes, it's a bit complicated to set it up, to have such a EU agency for the in Northern Aegean islands, but this is the way to do it. And then let's go to Albania. The north of Albania to this day is one of the poorest regions of Europe. 23%, 24% of EU average only. Man, that's really very poor. And it's lovely there. I've been there. But, you know, we have done little to help. And when you look at it, Albania must also be a federal Albania inside a federal Europe. Have independent regional, not independent, then everybody will be excited. But, you know, Upper Austrian-style self-governance is what everybody can have, everybody should have in Europe, no matter inside the EU or outside. The Northern Aegean, the same like Northern Albania, like also Upper Austria, Steiermark, Arizona, and even the idea that they don't have that is so appalling for me. I cannot understand. So I call for 6 federal states of European Albania, and then this northern region is so poor, it needs support. It needs support as a EU co-managed region, and that's what I call the European Škoda region, at the Skata Lake, with Škoda, with the highway, with all these instruments which we should have. Then let's come to European Pollock region. European Pollock region is the northwestern part of North Macedonia. That's the region where mainly Albanians live. That's where Tetovo and Kostova are. And this is so important region strategically, also for the unity of the country. EU do more for Pollock. I cannot understand. Why does have Pollock not a regional governance like Upper Austria? I cannot understand it. It's a mystery for me. Let's come to European Burgas region. That's in Bulgaria. Also, Burgas is so important. That's the border area with Turkey. It's the Black Sea. Can you imagine a more strategically important region than that? And Bulgaria, for example, Sofia region is already quite developed. And also the coast is quite developed. But inside Burgas, despite this enormous strategic, historic, natural park value and so many reasons, still very poor. And that's not good. And we need to co-invest in that. Then European Dobrich region. And that's the area then in the other part of the Black Sea. The whole Black Sea regions must be co-managed by the EU and massive European funding into the Black Sea, because there can be no more important task for the European Union than to help the prosperity at the Black Sea. There's then the European Dobruja. That's the neighboring part. That's the Danube Delta. That's the area of Romania then at the Black Sea. Can there be a more important region than that for European security? And then we come to European Bessarabia region. I've already talked about it. That's now in Ukraine. That's what I call the Bessarabia Ukraine. I'm also talked in the chapter about cross-regional cooperation, about the need for then having a joint regional office of European Bessarabia region, Ukraine, Moldova, and also of Romania. But that's a different topic. Now I'm talking about co-management. The EU setting up an agency in, and not in Odessa, but in some of this Ismaili, for example, or in Bolgrad, one of these regional cities inside European Bessarabia, and to co-manage it with authority, with a regional authority, with a regional good governance, and to really massively invest in that region. And then we come to European Gagauzia. Gagauzia is one of the autonomous regions. They have already good governance there. They have already this structure, that's political structure. And there is already a lot of help going into European Gagauzia, but not enough. And this is the south of Moldova, basically, on the border with Bessarabia of Ukraine. And here there is a Turkish-speaking minority living, the Gagauz. So here we must have a EU co-managed region, absolutely. And then, anyhow, in all these regions, a lot of money of European Union is already going. But the instrument is not there, the responsibility is not there, the commitment to European regional good governance, which we do in the EU very much, mostly, not everywhere, but we have it in most member states, we should have it everywhere. But then in Free Luhansk. I'm now coming to the borderlines with the Ukrainian war, because these two oblasts, Luhansk and Donetsk, are divided. The Russians have the eastern part, and Ukraine has kept in the wars of 2014 and 15 have kept the western part. So I call it Free Luhansk, and I call it European Kramatorsk. That's the Free Donetsk, basically. Kramatorsk is the capital there. And so these two regions must be EU co-managed regions. A separate EU development agency set up, reporting to the European Parliament, funded by the EU Commission, by the EU budget, and then working with the regional governance, because also there we need to build up real working regional governance, which one day might be unified with the Eastern Donbass, Eastern Donetsk, Eastern Luhansk. But for the moment, we have to focus that these countries, these regions, they are really working and they are successful. And the next one in Ukraine is Kherson, which has deserved a special attention. It's like the northern part of Crimea. Crimea is, of course, with the Russians now. We can do little about it. And so then this northern part, there, when you go over the Isthmus and then you see Kherson, this is the very strategic Dnieper River going into Black Sea and all these very important parts where many of the refugees from Crimea, they live now today. And here the EU needs to co-manage this region. There must be a EU development agency directly reporting to Brussels and going into these lines funded by Brussels to establish together with regional good governance to have a federal Ukraine successfully going then in the European Union. And then also, of course, now the ones we have little access, you know, and then we can just offer this. It would be also good to offer such a thing to the regions which are occupied or partly occupied by Russia. European Transnistria. Absolutely, this should be offered, you know, come to back to Moldova and then you get such a very specific and very generous European development support as a EU co-managed region. And the same also for European Crimea. I'm actually in favor of setting up such a European Crimea agency already in Kherson and being ready for development of and preparing and not spending so much, but waiting for the times once Crimea will be free, one day Crimea will be free. Then it's also for the same for the occupied regions, occupied Donbass, occupied Abkhazia, occupied South Ossetia, occupied, and then for Karabakh, I will talk about it in a second, but for these regions which are currently occupied, to build up such a EU co-managed agency, to set it in the free parts, like in Georgia, in Ukraine, in Moldova, close to the border, and say, this is our offer, we in Europe are generous. Once you come back to reason and the Russian troops leave, we will spend significantly in the rebuilding and we will also take responsibility for the co-management of such regions, and that's the way to do it. Also for Karabakh. Now was the war last year, it was a tragedy, but it has created also some clarity. Azerbaijan has won the parts of its territory which were occupied by Armenia in the 92 war. And now the situation is that Armenian Karabakh is still not, it was not actually attacked. So the Azeris were smart enough not to create any massacre or genocide or ethnic impulsion. They just took back the territories which also legally were theirs. And the future of Karabakh, as I've said many times, of Armenian Karabakh, of Bergkarabakh, is to have a South Tyrolean status inside Azerbaijan. And now, where should we come in? Because Europe was completely, despicably absent in all this. So the Azeris are rich enough to redevelop their own regions, and they're doing that quite effectively. But this Armenian population part, this so-called Aktash, I think it's called, and this part which is basically where the Armenians now living in, and somehow they have no access but this Russian corridor now, this is also a typical case for EU co-managed regions. Help Azerbaijan to turn Azerbaijan into a federal Azerbaijan, in not a centralist dictatorship, but a modern market economy with federalism, and make sure that the Armenians living in Bergkarabakh, in Nagorno-Karabakh, also get a EU co-managed agency to support them. The same is true for European Famagusta region. Also, I'm calling for unity of Cyprus in NATO, and this region, that's now the eastern part, the poorest part on both sides of North and South Cyprus, it's important to have a EU agency to help Famagusta to unite, to develop and to prosper in the future. And that's my 26 agencies. I'm sure, you know, when you look at it, there might be more regions which need attention, but these are the 26 most important I have defined. Yeah? There can be other regions as well in the south of Italy, and I don't think it's necessary to go in Italy also in that instrument. It might be maybe just a decent federalization and regional governance is enough normally. But in Eastern Europe, we have these regions. Some of them are extremely complicated, like Crimea, Donbass and others, and Nagorno-Karabakh. But most of them, they are really very challenging, economically, strategically important. And we need to take responsibility. And this new instrument is maybe complicated, but I don't think so. We can do that. Yeah? We can do a specific EU co-managed region project. And maybe there will be 30. Maybe that costs $1 billion all in all. I'm sure it is expensive. Yeah? But the regional development and supporting the regional good governance, the development of regional good governance structures in all these regions to promote federalism as the concept which worked in America so well in Germany and also in Austria and in many other countries. Also Poland has done these regional governance structures very well, and Romania has failed for many reasons. That's very sad. And then we have these negative effects. And we need to work with the regions. We need to, from the European level, to go to Eastern Europe to say there is our generosity, there is this experience of regional good governance. It will not lead to secession. It will lead to better compliance and better national cohesion, because not because everybody only thinks about Catalonia and the regions breaking away. No, it will lead to better compliance with a national level of unity and European cohesion, because everybody will understand we will all be united in Europe, we will all be prosperous and successful, and Europe really cares also for the poor periphery of Ukraine, of Greece, of Moldova, and everybody is European here, and Europe knows also Gagauzia, Europe knows also Shkodra, Europe knows also the Bessarabia, and Europe talks your language, Europe knows and cares for this region, and we are not the centralists sitting in Kiev or in Chisinau, and then from time to time we visit like imperial governors and then the regional periphery and bring some euros and try to be back home in the evening in our beautiful Kiev property or wherever then. And my experience in the last years have shown that the international community tends to be extremely centralistic in its effort to development, because then they do some regional things, yes, but they do it from Kiev, from Chisinau, from Bucharest. Very few internationals really constantly move to any of the regional capitals and regional centers. And the way the countries are all run in their insecurities, always with communist tradition of of centralism, but additionally also the oligarchy is then also forcing then a very centralistic style, because you want to control the politics, you don't want to have freedom and regional competition. You don't. The EU is normally setting up regional development agencies, but there is no regional governance because the EU is not really ready to recommend regions. While as we have a lot of regional things and regional council of regions, the EU delegations never support regional federalism because then the diplomats are afraid that something like Catalonia could happen and something like Scotland, and that's what the Russian propaganda is obviously saying, and they are always arguing against unity, and then these fragile public entities in Eastern Europe, they always then hammer hard on all the regional governance ideas, and then we have this centralism, and that's what all politicians and all diplomats like control. My experience in the last 20 years shows that unfortunately most ambassadors, what they love is also control. And the top politicians love control. It's understandable personally. But these fragile political new countries, they don't have these counterforces because normally the civil society says, you know, nobody in Texas would agree to have all the decisions taken in Washington, D.C. or nobody in Bavaria would agree to have such a centralist system. But not in Upper Austria. But in Ukraine, because of historic reasons and the communist inheritance and the fragility of the political entities, then this is extremely centralist everywhere. And even when decentralization is something to be promoted, federalism or regional good governance, meaning like you have also for minority real kind of autonomous political structures like we have it in southern Tyrol or like we have it in Belgium for the Germans, and we have it everywhere basically. That's the European model, treating minorities good and having regional governance. And that's obviously then too much. And then the EU is always happy to support, you know, the central government, highways and waters. Yes. That's all not so politically in a sense, whenever it's expensive. But when it comes to real good governance reforms, the normal things we do in Upper Austria and in Steiermark, which are totally out of the question to abolish it, then nobody really supports this in Eastern Europe. And especially then, we have these very neglected conflictual reasons where nobody ever goes and where they are complicated. Nobody wants to touch the issue. Everybody gets headache. And then we have this emigration from this region. And then we have regions in Europe today which are at below 25% of regional and GDP average from the European Union. And when you live very close, just, you know, a flight away, 1 hour, or, you know, traveling by bus in the Balkans or in Romania, and you are living in a region, you were born there, where the GDP is just at 25%. I mean, imagine yourself, wouldn't it be rational to go to Vienna or to Berlin and to Brussels and to work there, maybe in the grey sector, or, you know, to find some friends and do whatever it takes in order not to go back to a region which is just at 22-24% of EU average? Is this the Europe we want? No, I think no, and we need new tools. We need to think a bit bolder. We need to also be ready to engage. And even when Nicosia doesn't like it, and even when Kiev doesn't like it, you know, then they do nothing for Bessarabia. You know, go there. It's a dusty dust bowl. Because, of course, you know, you need, as a nation state, you need to think, where are most of my voters living? Where are most important? And then you develop wonderful capitals like Kiev, for example, or Chisinau. It's a really amazing Bucharest. But when you go in the more difficult, distant, peripheral region to the borders, where you maybe have complicated relations with the neighbors, where minorities live, like in Ukraine, in Zakarpattia, then you are, they could go and break away, and I will better not give them anything. I will reign with an iron fist on that region. I will avoid anything of decentralization and anything of federalism and of regional good governance. And here the EU has an obligation to counteract, has an obligation to really work with the national authorities, which we all fund in the double-digit billions. And, you know, then they need also regional good governance. Yeah? And this tool, I think, is very good. And when it's then up to the very complicated regions like Crimea, Donbass, there's no access now. But we need to present that the European model is working. We need to make sure that Kherson, the northern Crimea, the twin of the Crimea, is like an amazing South Korea, successful compared to Russian Crimea, which is downbeaten. We have to compete. We cannot allow Kherson to be poorer than Crimea. It must be 10 times richer, 10 times more successful, beautiful. People from Crimea occupied must run into Kherson to come until the Russians create a wall where they say, "Ah, you look, we have to block them in, we have to jail you because everybody wants to be in Kherson, the beautiful South Korea of Europe." And we need to invest in that. We need to also make sure there is all this economic governance tool and the political governance that Kherson is successful. And the same also true on the islands. It's a shame what is happening in the northern Aegean islands. We need to make sure the population is happy there, despite all this migration crisis, which I think will not be less in the future because of the chaos in Syria and in Afghanistan, where we make the failed foreign policy. So what we need to do to be sure that they are really seeing progress, build bridges, build residential places, build infrastructure, make sure there's something happening and make sure Europe cares. And we have to care means investing, but also caring in terms of political governance and also economic governance, which is meaningful and which we also do in Upper Austria. We also do that in Steiermark. We have learned that from America. It's the normal way of federalism and regional good governance and economic self-governance, because regional authorities, that's their task. They very much develop economically the regions. They are not for global politics, you know, in the regions. They do economic governance and they should do it very well. Make sure the land is used, make sure the people work, make sure there is infrastructure, make sure there is capital welcome and there is investment and employment. And these economic governance structures on the regional level must be competing with each other, and they must be measured and they must be supported by the EU. And in the countries and in the regions where this is not working, the EU directly from the European Parliament must set up a development co-management agencies as EU agencies, going directly into Kherson, going directly and not sitting in Kiev and having a headache when you have to go to the region. That's my call for EU co-managed regions, and I will talk more about it because I think it's one of the most important new instruments which in the new treaty must be included in the Conference on the Future of Europe, and it's extremely important to have such a tool in order to improve cohesion, solidarity, and also show that Europe knows as well where is Gagauzia, where is Bessarabia, where is Dobrich, where is Northern Aegean, and where is also Shkodra and all these beautiful regions, and where is Crimea, and that we care. We cannot be seen not to care. We care for all Epirus, Mitrovica, Pecina, Raška, Vukova. We care for the Trina Valley and for Herzegovina, and we will help all these regions effectively to have political governance and economic governance, European style, EU style, like in Upper Austria, like in Steiermark, like in Bavaria, like in Lower Saxonia, and like as well in all the regions of Europe, to have that and to have that with the help of the EU when seemingly the national authorities are not ready for it. Then the EU must be ready to support and also arm wrestle the local and regional authorities to compliance and make sure that the people there see we really care for Dobruja, Bessarabia, for Burgas, for Trina, for Rashak, for Shkodra, for Polok, for Thrace, for Northern Aegean, for Herzegovina, for Pecina, for Kherson, and also then later for Transnistria, Abkhazia, South Ossetia, Eastern Donbass, European Crimea, for Karabakh and Famagusta. And all these places should be good regions in Europe where it's safe and secure to live, where it's prosperous and nice to be, and where you can find a good future for capital, people, SMEs. That's the way of Europe. And we leave no place behind, no region left behind in the European dream of unity and progress and of prosperity and freedom. And that is the task of the European Union. And that's why we need a new instrument of EU co-managed regions for the European strategic periphery. And I have defined 26 of them. There might be more, but certainly not less. So it's time for them. Thanks a lot for listening and support European peripheral regions. They deserve it and they are very important for our own security and prosperity. Thanks a lot for listening.